Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He can ball, there's no doubt about it. Now, I'm the media Michael Jordan.
Now, back to Steinie and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, thanks to Chris Broussard.
Could he
FS1.
Hoop?
Yeah, he was good. He played Division III.
Take you off the dribble. He said Oberlin. Media Michael MJ. Damn.
Yeah, that's one of those things where
I love you, Chris.
I'll say I was better than him.
Seriously?
I think so.
Somebody, a little bird told me, you know the key to Steinie? This was after yesterday's show. I said, what? Let him talk about himself.
Of course.
In a good mood.
Of course.
I was like, I gotta figure it out.
By the way, what were you guys talking about with this foxhole earlier? And then you said, Steinie, would you be in my foxhole? No.
Spadoni and I were having a conversation as he left the morning roast. And we were talking about, you know, guys we'd like to have in our foxhole. Brought up Evan. Brought up Barry Switzer. We brought up some guys that, you know, you can count on. And then I say, Steinie, can I count on you in my foxhole? And Evan, he goes, no, you can't.
You can't.
That's sad.
I am a pacifist.
Yeah, dude, I don't know if you want me in your foxhole, to be honest.
I don't know why that bothered. What is going on here? Where am
Guru, if you and I were out and it all came down, I think I'd have to run away.
Wow.
Now, I probably wouldn't get very far.
Because you, Evan, and I, y'all don't, you know, I didn't tickle ass whooping or two, but I'm Draymond with us three.
I would like
you guys
to
are
end,
in good
I
hand.
Would like to end my lifetime career with a record of 0-0 in fights.
All right.
Physical fights.
Our bones don't heal as fast at this age.
All right. So one of the things we're talking about today is, you know, I just thinking about Purdy and Mac Jones and Purdy. Talking to the boss, and he's like, we're talking about how, boy, it just doesn't seem like anybody's clamoring for Brock Purdy to come back. And I agree. I don't think there's clamoring for Purdy to come back. And now, we're starting to ask why. Uncle Looney, this is how I'm going to start the segment. Uncle Looney on the YouTube chat. Steinie, the difference between being a backup and a starter is not a large gap compared to other quarterback situations. So what Uncle Looney's saying, one of the reasons there's no clamoring for Brock Purdy is because Mac Jones is almost as good as him. Fair. And I said to him, I have no doubt that's one of the reasons, but I think there's many other factors. Would it be fair to say that a large segment of 49er fans are not all the way bought into Brock? Is that a possibility?
Okay. And real quick, how do you measure that? And are you saying, you know what, the lack of calls, that we're, you know, the lack of clamoring, or are you where I'm at? I honestly believe that setback that he had, that pain that he felt after his bad performance against Jacksonville, is a byproduct of why we're not hearing clamoring. And I told the boss that. I told you and Evan. Steinie, I do believe it. But, you know, you guys get mad at me when I go, when both of these guys are coming out of college, if you want to play that game. At that juncture, revisionist history, who had or who was the better quarterback? It was Mac Jones.
Well, he was evaluated far more highly.
But he played more highly like in college football, and now he's in quarterback heaven with the guru. So now is he tapping back into what he was supposed to be when he initially got drafted? I don't know, but I do have those thoughts.
Let's start us out with Kevin in Fremont wants to talk about this dynamic, and that's what I think it is. It's some kind of dynamic between Purdy and Mac Jones, and between Purdy and the fans, and Jones and the fans, et cetera. What's up, Kevin? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Here's the thing about Mac Jones and Purdy. It's simple in the sense that there's physiological differences. Mac Jones, the reason why he can play right now, the offensive line is putrid, by the way, for anybody.
Yeah.
They're all going to get killed eventually. But the reason why Mac Jones can play behind that, and Purdy, you don't want Purdy in there right now, and I'm not a Niner fan. I'm just speaking. speaking facts here. You don't want Pretty behind that line, because without movement, he can't see over the line, and he's going to get his passes knocked down regardless. I know Matt Jones gets his passes knocked down, but he's bigger, and he can throw harder, and he's stronger, and so he can get his passes over people much easier. Mm. And because he can't move, it's okay. Even though he can't move, he can still strong arm it over them, and he's taller. Hmm. That's number one. So physiologically, Fair. You want Matt Jones in there because he can take it a little better.
All right.
But here's the other thing. You were talking earlier about how jobs can't get lost because of injury, and I'm not going to say that Pretty's going to lose his job because, like I said, no one's going to survive behind that offensive line right now. But here's the thing. Yes, you can lose your job due to injury, and the biggest example of that was when Pastorini went down and Plunkett took over and went to two Super Bowls and won them.
Yeah.
Wow. Houston,
Kevin, good solid points, no doubt about it. Well, Guru, you know, like you have the Cowboys history on lock.
Yeah.
And you and Evan and the boss were talking about, didn't this happen with Dak Prescott?
It did.
Please explain.
Zeke Elliott's rookie year, Tony Romo never got a chance to hand the ball off to Zeke. And you think about what could have been, because in a preseason game, Romo hurt his back. And a rookie out of Mississippi State, Dak Prescott, made his debut at Los Angeles Stadium against the Rams back then. Looked great. And Stoney, Romo wasn't back at the start. Dak quarterback won 2-3 games. They went 13-3, went to the playoffs. And during that season, week 7, week 8, it was Armageddon in Dallas because they didn't give the keys back to Tony Romo.
Did he start the season healthy?
No, he got hurt in preseason against Seattle.
All right.
So Dak takes over, looks good in the preseason.
6-2?
Yeah, 5-1, 4-2. And they just didn't give the keys back. They go to the playoffs, lose to the Rams. And Romo, that was it. Never played another down in the NFL. And now you look 10 years later, you didn't get a Super Bowl. But my point is, that's the definition of riding a hot hand. I liken that to what Harbaugh did with Alex Smith and Kaepernick. So I'm not saying
Let me ask you some questions about Romo.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, was he in the later stages of his career?
Had he had the chance to play with Zeke, Stoney, they would have went to the Super Bowl.
So looking back, do you think it was a mistake?
Oh, it's one of my biggest sports regrets and one of Jerry Jones' biggest sports regrets.
All right, fair.
But they made it and stood on it. They made that decision and stood on business.
Right.
But you got nothing for it? But okay. Three contracts and nothing, not even an NFC championship visit.
Okay, so then now compare that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want you to compare it now to the situation, or not now, but compare that to Cooper Rush and Dak Prescott.
Well, Cooper Rush went 5-1, but Steiner, his style was, you could tell the offense was, it was pedestrian. There was no, he couldn't move, but he won, okay. But you knew it wasn't, you couldn't taste success down the road.
So Mac Jones's 3-1 looked different than Cooper Rush's 5-1, kind of.
Physically, there was nothing Cooper did to make you forget about Dak. I'm watching Mac Jones. I'm just having these questions. Stein, I'm on your couch in your office, your medical office. Listen, I don't know if Brock can make the throws that Mac's making to Kendrick Bourne over the middle linebacker right in, and he has, don't get me wrong, but just consistently, Mac is slinging that thing. I'm not saying there's a controversy here because Norman Johnson told me, Stoney, son, always follow the money. So nothing's happening here. Shout out Buffalo Springfield, right?
Well, because unless Mac Jones is better than Brock Purdy.
But if
Mac Jones is better than Brock Purdy, I'm just saying.
So do you get mad at me or scoff at the notion that when I say, hey, revisionist history, coming out of college, Mac Jones was better than Brock Purdy?
No. I mean, he was more acclaimed. I mean, I don't want to.
Okay.
I'm going to give that to you.
Brock's got the diamond ring on his finger, right? With the contract. So there's nothing to see here. Or are you telling me?
There is something to see here if Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy is the starter. Then there is something to see. Is anybody willing to go that far? I don't know, but it doesn't seem like people are saying, we got to have Brock back. 888-957-9570. That segment was brought to you by Alameda County.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.